Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Now, I can't recommend that you do this because it is dangerous to mental health. But I sacrifice on your behalf. Yesterday afternoon after we left the office, Louise and I were driving home. And being in the radio business, you just, you know, you have to dial around the dial and check out the rest of the radio business. It's just part of the, you know, it comes with a job. And there's Michael Wiener going off, his stage name is Michael Savage, going off on how Barack Obama is a socialist. We finally find out this guy is a socialist. He just signed the S-CHIP program. You know, like S-CHIP, you know, like I said, look out. Don't step on that in a cow patty. How, why did they name it like, anyway.
He just signed this S-CHIP program. It's going to give 4 million children access to free health care. And you know how many of those are going to be illegal immigrants? It's,
you know, and he's going off on this rant about how the, you know, the people from what he refers to as the third world nations are going to be getting health care. And he talks about how when I was a young man, I didn't have a lot of money. My kids didn't have health care, you know, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And how this is proof that Obama is, you know, what do you expect the most liberal? And so it started. It started. By the way, welcome, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Our quote for the day from the Beatles. Have you ever seen the bigger piggies in their starched white shirts? You will find the bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have dirt. Always have white shirts to play around. You've heard our piggy alert, right?
Have you seen the bigger piggies in the starched white shirts? You will find bigger piggies stirring up the dirt. Always have clean shirts to play.
Now, you know, what does this have to do with Michael Savage, Wiener, going off on Obama being a socialist and the piggies? And our question for this first hour, how do we drive a stake through the heart of the era of the piggies with the starched white shirts? Well, first of all, here's what's going on. There's a blog over at democraticunderground.com right now. It's titled, Call the Senate Effing Now, right? Effing Now. And word on the street is that phone calls to Congress are running 100-1 against President Obama's stimulus package. Why would that be? Because all of right-wing talk radio is out there yelling and screaming, hysterical, histrionic, foaming at the mouth, going over the edge. As I said, you don't have to expose yourself to this. I've done it for you. I'm here to report. You know, we've been to the heart of darkness. Came back intact. You know, we've got pretty good psychological fortitude, Louise and I. And that's what's going on. And they are calling on their listeners to call Congress and say, stop this stimulus package. Well, as I said yesterday, it was wrong to call. You know, Obama has a packaging problem. In fact, it was very interesting to see Chris Matthews pick up on the exact same point last night. Sometimes I wonder if his producers are listening to our show. I think more likely it's so obvious, you know, that there is a messaging problem in the White House, that they are not doing the Frank Luntz routine, that they are not, they don't realize, you know, they think that they're talking to the cognoscenti. They think that they're talking to people like you and me who have some awareness of what's going on in politics. And the fact of the matter is that they're talking to the vast majority of American people who, while not stupid, are not particularly politically sophisticated, by and large, because they don't have the time to be. They're working hard. They're raising their kids. They're scared to death their job's going to go down the tubes. And what little political information they can get in most parts of the country, they're getting from people like Michael Wiener and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and these other bozos on the Reich, who are all saying in absolute lockstep. In fact, I got one of the memos 2 days ago. 2 days ago, I got this thing. I got the memo from the Reich. And forwarded on to David Sirota. I said, David, you got to see this. I think you may find it interesting. I haven't seen him write about it yet, but I was expecting to. Because I've been ranting about it. I mean, you know, same effect. But you get this memo from one of the right-wing agencies, what do you call them, PR companies, saying, okay, now's the time. Let's get out with this stuff. And that's exactly what it was. I mean, it was the marching orders to the right, saying, you know, now's the time. Here's another one. This is what's coming next, by the way. I just got this from another, you know, right-wing group. Please take a moment to read the editorial in the Washington Times about the danger of the Employee Free Choice Act card check and what Save Our Secret Ballot is doing to combat it. This went out to all the right-wing talk show hosts. This issue will become more pressing if Senator Gregg leaves the Senate to become President Obama's Commerce Secretary. It means that the state-focused strategy of Save Our Secret Ballot, SOSBallot.org, becomes the only vehicle to stop card check that does not depend on having and maintaining in perpetuity sufficient senators to continue an endless filibuster. So they're assuming this was before the announcement was made. This was a day and a half, 2 days ago that I got this. Actually, it was January 30th I got this thing. We are currently running campaigns in 10 states, and we'll add another 5 in the next 2 weeks. We anticipate at least 20 states by 2010. And, you know, please talk about this on basically your talk show. I'm telling you, the right, they get these memos, and they act on them. Nobody is sending out memos to the left. It's probably a good thing. You know, Chris Matthews likes to make the joke about how Republicans want a leader, Democrats want a meeting. I think that's a fine thing. Republicans do march in lockstep. They do have this mentality of top-down. Democrats do have the mentality of, hey, it's a small-d democracy. Everybody gets to have their say. That's a fine thing. But here's the bottom line. We've got to get active. You need to be calling your senator or your representative right now. You go to callcongress.org. There's the phone number. And let them know that you support this stimulus package. Because I'm telling you, if something doesn't get done, and you know that I have said many times, this isn't enough, and it's not focused, frankly, the way that I would do it, but it's a hell of a lot better than nothing at all. And we stand poised on the edge of, literally on the edge, if not already with one foot all the way in, up past the ankle, nearly to the knee, in the second Republican Great Depression in 100 years. For the exact same reasons, by the way. Three consecutive Republican presidents promoting deregulation. Back in the 20s, it was Harding, Coolidge, and Hoover, and this time it was Reagan, Bush, and Bush. And you can toss a small dose of Clinton in there if you want. But the bottom line is, we stand on the edge of a Republican Great Depression. If we don't do something about this, it's going to be a disaster. It's already a disaster. It's going to be worse than a disaster. And these right-wing guys, they are getting the message out. It's time for us to do the same. Here's what's at stake, writes the I don't have the whole blog here, so I'm sorry. I can't credit the blogger, but you can get it over at democraticunderground.com. I just have a clip from it. But here's what's at stake. This is the biggest and boldest piece of progressive legislation in the last 40 years. And that's why all these right-wingers are so hysterical about it. This is bringing back a piece of the New Deal. And, you know, of course, we all know what Rush has to say about the New Deal, right?
Roosevelt is dead. His policies may live on, but we're in the process of doing something about that as well.
Now, he's been bragging about that for years, and they're continuing to do it. They actually are. And what this bill would do is provide $142 billion for middle-class tax cuts. That's money that will go into the pockets, and I know this is a right-wing talking point, but the fact of the matter is, when you give tax cuts to working people, you do get a short bump. I'm not a fan of tax cuts. You know that. But over the short term, if you need an immediate stimulus right now, give it to working people. $142 billion for middle-class tax cuts, $47 billion for unemployment benefits. That's desperately needed. $16 billion to expand food stamps. We have people in the United States who are going to sleep hungry, literally hungry, not sure where the next meal is coming from. $17 billion in one-time payments to low-income Americans. Good. Immediate stimulus, $26 billion to expand access to health care. This is what Wiener was going off about last night so hysterically.
That's socialism, oh my God.
$87 billion to help states pay for Medicaid, $24 billion for IT technology to modernize it, $46 billion for roads and bridges, $80 billion for improving public education, $19 billion for school collection, $14 billion to make college more affordable. These are simple, straightforward things. This is a jobs bill. Note to the Obama administration, start calling it a jobs bill. It's a jobs bill. Yes, it creates jobs. And when they say, well, you know, how does providing health care create jobs? You have to hire more nurses and doctors. It provides jobs. Plus, it keeps your workforce healthy so you have more competent workers. We need to drive a stake through the heart of the era of the white-shirted piggies that was declared in 1981 when Ronald Reagan was sworn in and has been running right up until last week.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Saving the Constitution. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ. Portland's only progressive talk station.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
Carl Wolfson and friends.
Let's get to Joe the Plumber. He's covering the war in Israel.
6 to 9.
You're not going to believe what he said.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think journalists should be anywhere allowed war. And if you're going to sit there and say, well, look at this atrocity, well, you don't know the full story behind it half the time.
Yeah, you know, we should just take what the Pentagon says. No atrocities. You know, that's just war.
It's Carl Wolfson.
I think he's one of those people that had his 5 minutes of fame and now thinks he's really smart.
I kind of lean that he's an idiot.
Morning, 6 to 9.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station.
Portland is recognized as the most eco-friendly city in the U.S., and it's about to get even greener. The Everything Green Oregon Expo features family-friendly choices for green living, food, lifestyle, a children's corner provided by the Portland Children's Museum, and much more. Free admission with suggested donation of 2 cans of non-perishable food for the Oregon Food Bank. Whether you're eco-curious or sustainably minded, there's something for everyone at the Everything Green Oregon Expo, February 14th and 15th at the Oregon Convention Center. For more information, visit egoregon.com.
The credit card companies were calling all the time. It was very stressful. It was really a cloud hanging over our heads.
How would you like to wipe out 30 to 60% of your credit card debt? There are secret programs most credit card companies won't tell you about that can allow a portion of your debt to be forgiven. Financial Freedom of America uses these programs to help you avoid bankruptcy, save thousands, and get more cash back in your pocket every month.
I wasn't sure what to expect, but FFA came through like promised. We're kind of excited to have that stress-free feeling now.
Call for your free, no-obligation evaluation, and FFA will give you the steps to eliminating a large percentage of your credit card bills, medical bills, or department store debt. Individual results vary, and it's not available in all states.
So call for your free information now.
800-517-8430.
800-517-8430.
Call 800-517-8430. That's 800-517-8430.
I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Good girl.
Return the love to your pet this season at Petco's Show Your Love Valentine's Day event. Bring your pet Saturday, February 14th from 11 to 2 p.m. and take a Valentine's Day photo for just $5.95 plus tax. You'll receive a free Valentine's Day card and bandana while supplies last. All pets are welcome. For details, visit your local Petco, where the pets go.
100% fruit juice may not contain actual fruit. Remove clothes from body before ironing. For indoor or outdoor.
In a world full of fine print, it's nice to know Radio Shack has a great selection of no-contract mobile phones. Use a lot of minutes or just a little. Whatever you want, however you want. There's no credit checks, no strings attached, and no absurd disclaimers.
Coffee may contain hot liquid. Do not take aspirin.
Shop with confidence for a flexible Virgin Mobile no-contract phone, like the Virgin Mobile Slash by Samsung, for only $59.99. That's a $20 instant savings at Radio Shack.
Offer good through 2/14/09.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to the Tom Hartman Radio Program. This is Real Talk Radio, brought to you in part by the Teamsters, proud supporters of the Employee Free Choice Act, teamster.org, for more information. Let me just take you to step two on this thing. If you're going to be contacting your member of Congress, and this is something that is on the plate of nobody. Nobody in Congress is looking at this. Nobody's talking about this. Nobody in talk radio other than me, as far as I know, is talking about this, although frankly, Louise and I work 15-hour days on this show. We don't have an opportunity to listen to a whole lot of talk radio other than when we're driving someplace. But it certainly is not happening on TV either, what little of it I see, is that nobody is talking about rolling back the Reagan tax cuts. Here's Barack Obama. He comes out and he says, okay, let's cap executive compensation at $500,000 a year for the people who are being bailed out by us. You know what would be much easier? Let's just roll back the Reagan tax cuts. The Reagan tax cuts, before Ronald Reagan came into office, if people earned more than $3.2 million a year, which is plenty of money. And this, by the way, when Reagan came into office, the average CEO in the United States earned about 30 times what the average worker makes. Now it's over 500 times. Why? Because of the Reagan tax cuts. Pure and simple. Nothing more or less. That's it. The exact same thing happened in 1921 when Warren Harding dropped the top marginal income tax rate from over 80% down to 25%, more or less. The exact same thing happened. CEO pay exploded. The rich got richer, dramatically richer, and the middle class got by and large wiped out. There was a huge bubble economy. What little middle class there was invested all their money in the stock market, and they got totally wiped out in the Republican crash of 29 and the Republican Great Depression of the 1930s. It's happening all over again. But the bottom line is that when you have taxes on, now keep in mind, marginal tax rate. I got a very bizarre email yesterday. Let me see if I saved this thing. I've been occasionally saving these. This is interesting. Apparently not. Anyway, this guy sends me an email going, you know, I heard you yesterday calling for a return for the Reagan tax cut. I work hard. You know, how dare you say that I should be paying 50, 60, 70% income tax? Well, you know, I can't believe that this guy was making over $3.2 million a year. A marginal tax rate means that you start paying. This is at the margin. In other words, after you make $3.2 million, your $3.3 million are taxed at 74%. Under Reagan, before Reagan, under LBJ, under Jack Kennedy, under Dwight Eisenhower, who thought it was just a fine idea, thank you very much, Republican president with a vice president named Richard Nixon, who was supportive of it. Under Richard Nixon, Nixon never complained about this. Under Richard Nixon, under Jerry Ford, top tax, 74% when you make more than $3.2 million in today's dollars. So if we simply roll, and he's going off on me, and I wanted to, you know, I just don't reply, because then, you know, the replies get posted on blogs, and then I get 400 emails a day from these people. But I wanted to reply saying, geez, I'm amazed you're making more than $3.2 million a year and you're worried about the money above that. See, that first $3.2 million is not taxed at 74%. It's taxed at 20, 30, 40%. You know, the first 10,000 is not taxed at all. I mean, it's taxed just like everybody else. That's why it's called a progressive taxation system. So let's roll back the Reagan tax cuts. And then Obama doesn't have to worry about these people getting obscene amounts of money because they're not going to take the pay and the companies aren't going to pay them because it's going to go to taxes anyway. So what happens? The companies keep that money in their coffers and they build and grow their companies. Rather than giving all these obscene amounts of money to a small number of mind-bogglingly rich people who then say, okay, I've got this obscene amount of money. Where do I put it? Oh, I got to find a place to invest it. Well, let's put it in a hedge fund. Let's buy, you know, and boom, you've got a whole nother bubble. Bottom line is, Larry Beinhart has pointed out over and over and over again, every single time the tax rate goes above 50%, the economy gets strong, stable, steady. It's not spectacular because you don't have bubbles, but it also doesn't crash because the bubbles don't pop. You get real steady, averaging around 3.2% per year growth. The economy does just fine, thank you very much. On the other hand, when you have a large tax cut, as happened in the 20s and has happened in the 80s, it is followed by a boom in the financial sector, a bubble, and a crash. Always. In the 80s, it was the SNL crash. Then we had the dot-com crash in the 90s. Then we had the bank crash and securities crash in the 21st century. All of these in this last decade, all of these are the consequence of the Reagan tax cuts. So if you really want to see this work, bring back tax rates as they were before Ronald Reagan. Roll back the Reagan tax cuts. It's real simple. I think it's a fine idea that Barack Obama is saying, hey, and by the way, if the government bails you out, the most your CEOs can be paid is $500,000 a year. I think that's a fine idea. The giant loophole in that is that, by the way, the company can still give these people $30, $40, $50 million a year worth of stock that simply can't be converted to cash until after the government's paid back. Well, it's nice. It gives them an incentive to pay the government back, and I suppose there's some public benefit to that, but they're still going to make the $20 million bucks. Let's tax the whole damn thing over 3.2 million. Why should anybody in this country be earning more than $3.2 million and using the commons so heavily, the commons of our court system and our financial system so heavily without paying a proportionate share of taxes? It has always worked in the past. Roll back the Reagan tax cuts.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2222.
Annoy Hannity. Listen to Hartman. Tom Hartman, nationwide. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back to your radio support group for We the People of the United States of America. Tom Hartman here with you. By the way, coming up on our show in the next hour, in our second hour, Doug Feith is going to drop by about his new book, War and Decision, Inside the Pentagon at the Dawn of the War on Terrorism. In our third hour, Matt Miller with the Center for American Progress, he has a new book on the tyranny of dead ideas, letting go of old ways of thinking to unleash a new prosperity, sort of a one side then the other here. Our Jaws alert, bothered by garter snakes, you got nothing. Have your nightmares been bland recently? Here you go. Fossil hunters working in an open pit coal mine in Colombia have discovered the remains of 28 giant snakes that ruled the earth for 10 million years. They call them Titan boas. They weighed 1.25 tons and were 45 feet long. By comparison, the longest living species right now is a 33-foot reticulated python in Southeast Asia, although their average is only 20 feet. So, as one researcher said, the snake that tried to eat Jennifer Lopez in the movie Anaconda is not as big as the one we found. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. And Doug in Portland. Hey, Doug, welcome to the show.
Good morning. How are you doing, Tom?
Just great.
You know, I've been listening to you since you started on the air here in Portland, and I first thought, the guy's a little too soft. He's not hard. Well, I'm glad to say I was wrong. I love listening to you, and especially to when you have Bernie Sanders on. Just brilliant, common sense, middle ground, well, not middle ground, middle class ideas. Now, this whole stimulus thing, I've been looking up at the New Deal, seeing the corollaries between the two. It just makes good common sense. It helps the majority of the people in the middle. Why are these people not seeing this and not agreeing to this?
Because there are right-wing ideologues who, I mean, you know, when Limbaugh made his proclamation.
Roosevelt is dead. His policies may live on, but we're in the process of doing something about that as well.
He was dead serious about that. These guys want to roll back the New Deal. They want to roll back all the protections. They don't think that there should be a middle class. As I documented in some detail in a couple of articles you can find over on Common Dreams and in my book, Screwed, the conservative worldview, the mindset of conservatives, the true conservatives, the ideological conservatives, the ones who are driving the movement, is that democracy, small-d democracy, is a bad thing. They refer to it as mob rule. They think that if the largest number of people have their say, that they will simply vote themselves all the money and destroy the country. They really believe that. History shows, by the way, that that's not the case, that when democracy functions well, it functions really well and things work. But they think that instead a small elite, a meritocracy, a small elite should be making all the decisions because the majority of people are evil and will try to get everything they can, steal things and like that. And you've got to find those few good people. It's a variation on Calvinism. It's a variation on Burkeism, Sir Edmund Burke back in the 1800s, or the late 1700s. And it's their ideology. They really and truly want there to be a ruling elite in the United States. And I'm not saying that the way that conservatives say, oh, liberals hate America, you know, they're communists and all that. I'm saying that as a statement of fact. They themselves say it in a little bit more flowery language. But read Russell Kirk's book. He published it in 1954, The Conservative Mind. It's the Bible of the modern conservative movement. It's what got Barry Goldwater going. It's what got William F. Buckley going. Read William F. Buckley's writings. His autobiography, Overdrive, is brilliant. There's a whole variety of conservatives who will simply openly say these things, Doug. And it's not a question of the conservatives saying, okay, Obama's the president now, we're just going to go along with it. They are going to fight till their dying breath because the ideologues actually believe it. And the ones who are going along with the ideologues because they want the money and they want the power, they're going to go along. I was impressed to see that Olympia Snow was coming out. The Republican from Maine had come out and was talking about let's improve this stimulus package. She's actually supporting it, although she wants to reduce the size of it. Another ideological conservative. So but that's what's really going on. If you want to know, Tom in North Hollywood, California. Hey, Tom.
Hi, yeah, Tom. I have three things. One, I need some advice in terms of I'm calling my senator. I'm calling my congresspeople. And I'm getting one, voicemails are full, or I'm not getting someone there. I'm trying to go on the email. The websites are crashing, which is all good news possibly for us.
Yeah.
But at the same time, what else can we do, number one? Number two, I just want to get all these out. Number two is that everyone needs to be well aware that the credit card companies right now are increasing the rates. They're sending out notices this week that's talking about these increase in rates. And the third thing I have to say is I think that Dick Cheney is an absolute terrorist. He sounded like a terrorist when he made those claims yesterday, and the mainstream media is well along in terms of thinking he was just a crazy, you know, old man rather than saying what he really is.
No, he really is a terrorist. He's using the same tools that Osama bin Laden did. And to my point, the torture that he was using during his administration was not to gather information. It was to create terror. Dick Cheney is a terrorist. As to how to contact your members of Congress, if you go to their websites, you can find typically the numbers of the local offices because it's your member of Congress. You have one member of the House of Representatives. You have two U.S. senators. Go to their websites and get the number of the local offices and call the local offices if the Washington, D.C. numbers are tied up. In fact, very often calling the local offices is even more effective because they know that they're actually talking to a local constituent. So do that, Tom. Emails generally don't work so well. Most members of Congress have now gone to an email form where you have to plug in a zip code that's in their district. And that's a little better. But still, they realize that they're, you know, it's possible for bots to just flood them with emails. So that's not quite as effective. But calling them, show up in person at their local offices if it's possible. You know, if you can take lunch and just drop by the local office if you happen to live in a town where there is one, that's a great idea as well. Christine in Tempe, Arizona. Hey, Christine, what's up?
Oh, gosh, I've been screaming about this for about a week, even to my local progressive station. You know, we progressives need to counteract this right-wing radio blanketing of the propaganda. And what I'm doing, along with a couple other right-wing or progressive radio station friend listeners, mm-hmm. are going around our neighborhoods collecting non-perishable food and for our local food banks because they're all getting very depleted, mm-hmm. and directing our neighbors to our local progressive radio station, telling them that if Republicans manage to block Obama's job stimulus plan, the food banks will need all the food they can get because we'll have another Great Depression.
That's great. And one of the best things you can do, not only contacting your local advertisers and your local radio station, telling them that you're listening, but ask your local radio station if they have a bumper sticker you can put on your car. Many of them do. And then hundreds of people will see their call letters every single day. Because a lot of these stations, you know, they're having radio businesses is having a tough time right now, right across the board. They don't have a lot of money for promotion, but many of them do have bumper stickers, and it's a great way to promote it. Great idea, Christine. Thank you very much, and good on you for doing it. Sean in Fort Lauderdale. Hey, Sean, what's up?
Hey, Tom, could you please refer to these people in reference to no more emails and leaving messages and so forth? Please keep addresses so we start mailing letters. I mean, you know, you can very easily hang up on someone and just never mind the messages and all that stuff. And emails, forget it. And just like you get thousands of them. How do you respond to them? But, I mean, to give addresses out, I said, please send a letter.
Here's the problem, Sean. I agree with you. Letters are important. And, by the way, when you send letters, send them to the local office, not to the federal offices. Because if you send it to the federal office, it can take almost 2 months for them to get there because they go through a special anthrax screening. So send it to the local office. But here's the problem. If this legislation is going to be voted on in the next 2 or 3 days and you send a letter, it's not going to get there in time. If you call right now, and I'm telling you, all the right-wing talk show hosts are telling people to call their members of Congress. And so we need, which is one of the reasons that their lines are probably so badly slammed.
But, Tom, what I don't get is we have a majority, for Christ's sake. What is this the panic stuff when they have all these people talking against the package? You know what I mean?
The right wing is flexing their muscles, and we need to show these guys that we have their backs.
The Democrats always are spineless, for Christ's sake. Now we have a majority, so what's the problem?
Well, the problem is that they haven't heard from enough of us to know that we've got their back. I mean, that's really it, Sean. And of course, I think that there is Stockholm syndrome and battered wife syndrome going on, you know. But nonetheless, we need to be calling them and saying, "Don't worry, we're with you. We'll take care of this." Linda in Cleveland, Ohio. Hey, Linda.
Yes, hi, Tom. First, I want to say the Republican motto right now is "Country first, my ass."
Right.
And then I want to say that those reps and Republican senators and representatives who oppose this economic recovery plan, those districts and states should get no benefit from that plan. I mean, let's talk about Kentucky not getting any benefit from it. How about them not getting any FEMA help?
Yeah.
And
Oklahoma, Arizona. Except that, you know, there are good people in those states, too. I mean,
the thing is that these Republicans have been able to get away with their bull for so many years. They are not accountable. If their people suffer, finally, maybe they'll be accountable.
Yeah, and what's incredible, Linda, is when you look at a map of which states are getting the most federal dollars, for every dollar that goes in federal taxes, you know, how much do they get back?
Mm-hmm.
By and large, the blue states are getting back less than a dollar, and the red states are getting back more than a dollar. In other words, the very representatives who are yelling and screaming about the size of the government are the ones who are the biggest recipients of the size of the government, right across the board. But, you know, that's another story that doesn't get reported by the corporate media and doesn't get talked about very much by, you know, certainly ever on right-wing talk shows. Incredible. Time to call your congressman or woman now.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Truth is his weapon. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
The hardest part of any home improvement project is finding a good quality contractor, somebody who's going to do the job right, complete it on time and within budget, and not going to hassle you. So who do you call? Who do you trust when you need a plumber, a painter, an electrician? I'll tell you who to call. Like me, call Angie's List. Before we signed up for Angie's List, we had a disaster contractor install a kitchen counter. We used Angie's List to find a handyman to show up and fix everything. They really came through for us. More than 650,000 homeowners nationwide use Angie's List for ratings and reviews on more than 300 service categories, even doctors. It's a word-of-mouth network for consumers. Angie's List is a growing collection of homeowners' real-life experiences with local service companies. Now, the people who join Angie's List, they're like you. They're looking for a way to find trustworthy companies that perform high-quality work. To join Angie's List, go to AngiesList.com and eliminate the fear of hiring the wrong company. I joined Angie's List, and you should, too, today at AngiesList.com. 1-888-888-LIST. 888-888-LIST.
Ed Schultz.
The landscape of talk in this country, in my opinion, is changing somewhat.
Noon to 3.
It's becoming, okay, what's the issue? Here's what we know. Nobody's got any money, and nobody's paying their taxes. Those are two things we know that's happening out there that we can talk about.
He's Big Eddie. The Ed Schultz Show.
Now, what side of the aisle are you on? It doesn't matter.
Noon to 3.
Look, you're either paying or you're not paying. You know, you either got money or you don't.
AM 620, KPOJ. Online, 620kpoj.com.
Worried about losing your home? Is your bank threatening to foreclose? Well, there's hope. Operation Hope, America's leading financial literacy and empowerment nonprofit. If you're facing mortgage payment challenges, we just may be able to help. Get free, reliable information and guidance by calling the Operation Hope Mortgage Hotline at 888-388-HOPE. That's 888-388-4673. Look, don't lose your home just because you didn't pick up the phone. Make that call today or visit us at operationhope.org.
Oh, yeah, baby, strike-a-rooney.
Hey, great ball.
Thank you, man. Hey, my name's Paul.
Hey, Paul, I'm your local Geico agent.
Well, that's cool. You bowl here?
No, I'm just here to help you save money on car insurance.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm local. I live right here in the neighborhood. So, if you need help saving money, I'm right here for you.
Like, right now?
Exactly. You know, uh-huh. You get the same low rates that Geico's known for, but with the personal service of a local agent.
Ah.
Hey, can I tell you something, Paul?
Sure.
Try straightening out your wrist just a touch and put a bit less spin on the ball. See what happens.
I have been working on that.
Uh-huh.
If you ever need help saving money on car insurance, have questions about your policy, or just want a free rate quote, your local Geico agent is always close by.
Your local Geico office can help you insure more than just your car. They can help you with motorcycle, boat, homeowners, renters, and other insurance products. For a free rate quote, call 503-794-0901. That's 503-794-0901. Or visit your local Geico office at 13031 Southeast 84th Avenue in Clackamas.
Wouldn't you love to be a lucky parent who's proud of their child's grades? Well, now you can turn poor grades around to A's, even when they're failing. Call right now for a free copy of the Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call 1-888-502-4917.
Hello, I'm Dan Bassmajan. During my 20 years as an educator, the kids with failing grades were sent to me. I discovered that bad grades don't come from bad or lazy kids. They come from kids who are overwhelmed by everything they have to learn. That's why I created The Simple Way to an A. This system shows kids how to learn and how to ace every test. It's so easy. Your teenager will earn better grades in 30 days guaranteed and become the happy, confident kid you know they can be.
For a limited time, Dan is offering all parents a free copy of his Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call now so we can send them to you absolutely free. Call 888-502-4917. That's 888-502-4917. Once again, that's 888-502-4917.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Tropic port aboard this tiny ship. The mate was a mighty sailing man, the skipper brave and sure. Five passengers set sail that day for a 3-hour tour.
Yeah, well, we've got a 3-hour tour for you if you live in Washington, in Seattle, in the Seattle area. A 3-hour tour with Tom, Louise, and the crew from Talk 1090 from noon to 3 aboard the Royal Argosy. This will be March 7th, Saturday, March 7th. And you can pick up tickets over at am1090seattle.com for that. And also coming up February 26 and 27, Radio Row at the Conservative Action Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC. I'll be there in Washington, D.C., March 7th, as I mentioned, in Seattle for our three-day cruise. March 19th on Thursday, we'll be in Chicago, Illinois. I'll be debating Michael Medved, and we need you to show up and give us a little applause on the progressive side, eh? ChicagoProgressiveTalk.com is where you can pick up tickets to show up for that. And on May 2nd, I'll be in Denver, Colorado for the Green Festival. Just as an FYI, just as a what's up. 866-303-2270 is our telephone number. And Jeff in Pittsburgh. Hey, Jeff, what's up?
Yes, I've been trying to call Barbara Boxer's office in Washington, D.C., Sacramento, San Francisco, and Los Angeles, and I'm getting a message that I don't understand. It says a call to her office cannot be made from this telephone, assuming my telephone, by the customer's request, and I don't quite understand the nature of the message.
Do you have call blocking on your phone? Caller ID blocking? Do you have caller ID turned off on your phone? A lot of people do, so that you.
Oh wow! No, we have the caller ID turned on.
So she should be able to see your caller ID.
I'm sorry.
So she should be able to see your caller ID.
Oh, okay. Can you see it from your phone?
I don't know, because our call screener types over the caller ID with the information. It says here, it says that you're an online listener.
How do you turn the call blocking back off?
You know, I think it's like *84 or something like that. It's star something that turns off your call blocking. If that's it, I mean, it's entirely possible that what she's doing or what her office is doing is only letting through calls from with the California zip code area codes.
Oh, yeah, I am from California.
Oh, you are? Oh, Pittsburgh,
yeah,
California.
Yeah, Pittsburgh, California.
Okay. Yeah, then I'm guessing it probably just has to do with call, you've got anonymous calling turned on or something like that. You can Google it real easily.
I think
I think it's *83, *84, something like that. You dial first, and then it allows your phone number to be visible to the person you're calling.
I was fearing that this is some sort of a right wing trick. Anybody calling?
I doubt it. I think that this is, a lot of people do that just to block telemarketers,
I'll try that.
Let us know, Jeff. Thanks a lot. David in Blaine, Washington, listening on KBAI. Hey, David, what's up?
Oh, thank you so much, Tom. I'm enjoying the show. Thanks so much for everything. You know, about the part of the debate about the infrastructure and the money that needs to be spent. Remember when that bridge went down in Minneapolis? That was the same day that Karl Rove defied Congress after being subpoenaed. But anyways, the Army Corps of Engineers came out with a statement that 30,000-plus bridges across the country were in the same condition, if not worse. So right there, there's plenty of jobs to repair all the bridges, because all the bridges that I've driven over, I've not seen any maintenance done in the last 2 years.
Yeah, or the
since
last
that bridge collapse.
Really, the last 28 years. I mean, it's just this has been basically a 28-year moratorium on any kind of infrastructure repair of any consequence all across the country.
Ever since
Reagan's tax cuts cut the floor out from underneath the revenue stream into our federal government, and we started running up a huge deficit. Keep in mind, before Reagan's tax cuts, our national debt was around $1 trillion. In fact, I think it was under $1 trillion. Now it's pushing $10 trillion. And again, I say it all goes back to Reagan's tax cuts. David, thank you very much. Very well said. Jeannie in Mesa, Arizona. Hey, Jeannie.
Hi there. We are unrepresented in Arizona. We cannot get through. 50 of us went to McCain's office, gave him a petition of 2,700 people and their stories. We have called 8 times, and nobody will even return a phone call.
Start writing letters to the editor of the Arizona Republic and any other.
Actually, I sent them petitions, and they knew that we were there. Nobody covers us. Nobody comes with us. Nobody talks to us. If you aren't, in his corner, you don't get attention.
That's very interesting. Well, first of all, rule of thumb for letters to the editor to a newspaper, instead of sending them a petition, send them a 1 or 2 paragraph letter, something very short, very sweet, very concise. Okay. Number two, here in Portland, we had a problem with the Oregonian, the local newspaper, which is actually owned by a New York company, that they did not cover the Downing Street memo. Remember when the Downing Street minutes came out, which basically indicted Bush for being a war criminal?
Right.
You know, in the early days.
Right.
And for it seems like it was over a week. I may be wrong in my recollection, but there were several days in any case where the Oregonian did not cover that story at all. We raised hell about it on the morning show here on AM 620 KPOJ in Portland. And a bunch of listeners went down and had a banner. In fact, we've got a picture of it on our wall. Had a banner, like a 15-20 foot long banner that said Oregonian covered the Downing Street minutes. And they stood in front of the Oregonian's building all day long with that banner. The next day, the Oregonian did a whole full page article on the Downing Street minutes. Now, I'm not sure that there was a cause effect relationship. I'm sure that the Oregonian would deny that there was. But it's quite a coincidence. And so you might want to consider the same thing. If the Arizona Republic – is the Arizona Republic the main paper there?
Yes.
Yeah, that was my recollection. I've spent a fair amount of time in Phoenix over the years. You might want to think about doing something like that. You know, if they're ignoring you guys, if they're ignoring the other side of the issue, get out in front with a sign or a picket or a banner or something. If talking back to the media causes the media to ignore you, talk back to the media in a way that the people driving by see.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good luck, Jeannie. You're welcome. I'll tell you, there are so many ways to contact the media, and email is the least effective. I get, I'm telling you, literally hundreds of emails a day that are CC'd to, you know, countdown at MSNBC.com and blah-de-blah, you know, the whole list, right? And everybody's running spam filters nowadays. Everybody's ignoring this stuff. So, like Jeannie did, you know, show up, knock on their door, write short letters, and if worse comes to worse, try standing out in front with a sign.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ and 620kpoj.com.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the second hour of our program. Doug Feith is with us. He's the director of the Center for National Security Strategies at the Hudson Institute and the Belfer Center adjunct visiting scholar at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. He served as Undersecretary of Defense for George W. Bush from 2001 to 2005. Hudson.org for his work at the Hudson Center. And he has a new book out called War and Decision, Inside the Pentagon at the Dawn of the War on Terrorism. Douglas Feith, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. In your book, you talk about how there was some pushback on this. You talk on page 207, the talk of targeting discomfited General Myers, at that time still the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And Paul Wolfowitz, then, toward the end of this, you say, Wolfowitz replied that his proposal might actually, and this concern that was expressed apparently by Colin Powell, that this is going to blow up Arab-Israeli relations. Wolfowitz says, no, this is actually going to improve them. You know, without sounding too incredulous, I mean, what world were you guys living in?
Well, what exactly are you referring to?
Yeah, I guess I'm sorry. The question was phrased in a way that's less than respectful. Here's General Myers saying, you know, this thing could blow up in our face. You had Colin Powell talking about the dangers of it. You had Paul Wolfowitz saying this is actually going, if we invade Iraq, it's actually going to help the situation between the Palestinians and the Israelis. This makes, I mean, even reading your book where you lay it out in a way that seems, you know, quite dispassionate and kind of historical, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, I think you pulled a few things out of the book that are rather out of context. I mean, what my book recounts is the series of debates that administration people had about Iraq policy going back to before 9/11 when the administration first came into office. I mean, as you know, the Iraq was an issue on the U.S. national security agenda pretty high up there since the summer of 1990 when Saddam invaded Kuwait.
Sure.
And the United States cared about Iraq. We fought the war to get them out of Kuwait. We then participated with the U.N. Security Council in trying to get a containment strategy put in place. And Saddam fought against that containment strategy throughout the 90s with considerable success. And there was a question when the Bush administration came into office in 2001, what were we going to do about Iraq and the continuing threats from the Saddam Hussein regime?
Well, if I may interrupt you, you say Saddam during the Clinton administration fought against the containment strategy with considerable success. Well, we know now that he wasn't building weapons of mass destruction. He wasn't doing bacterial warfare. He wasn't doing any of those things. And in fact, the UN was reporting that about 500,000 children were dying every year in Iraq as a result of the embargo, including in particular because one of the embargoed items was chlorine. Their water purification wasn't working the way it should. What success did he have?
Well, let's take it piece by piece because you pointed to some of the issues. The containment strategy that the UN put in place had a number of major elements. One of them were the economic sanctions. One element was the weapons inspections. Another element were the no-fly zones over northern and southern Iraq. And what Saddam did was he worked to dismantle each of those elements. Now, one of the things he did was he pointed out and made a lot of propaganda on this, that the economic sanctions were hurting ordinary Iraqis. I mean, just gave voice to that.
Because they were.
There's no question about it. They certainly were. And that's part of the problem, as I point out in my book, it's part of the problem with economic sanctions. When you have these tyrannical regimes and they're dangerous regimes and the world wants to do something other than authorize military action against them to put pressure on them, one of the few tools that the world has is economic sanctions. But the problem, of course, is that in these tyrannical regimes, when you put economic sanctions against the countries, the effect it's a very blunt instrument.
Would you not disagree that there are broadly three tools of international diplomacy? One is diplomacy itself. The second is the use of leverage, like economic sanctions, embargoes, things like that. And the third is military force. Am I missing a fourth or a fifth in this equation?
Well, there are a lot of tools, and I mean, there are sub tools of when you talk about different kinds of pressure. There, it's not just economic pressure that you can bring to bear against the regime. If you remember. I mean, the kinds of pressure that were brought to bear against South Africa included things like, you know, isolating them, not allowing
them. Shaming them.
Shaming them and also not allowing not allowing their athletes to participate in international events and having.
Jimmy Carter pulling out of the events, as I recall, out of the Olympics. But broadly, there are those three things. And the point is that throughout your book, I see very little reference to the diplomatic side of this. And I know you were one of the signers of the letter to Bill Clinton back in 1998 saying, let's have a regime change in Iraq and let's use military force if necessary to do that. We now look back on the death toll. There's a million people who died, a million non-combatants in Iraq who have died as a result of this. 4.5 million non-combatants displaced. There are between 1 and 2 million widows and 5 million orphans. That amount of blood on my hands would make me suicidal. How do you guys deal with this?
Well, I mean, I don't think that your statistics are right, and I'm not sure that there are authoritative statistics on this. And what you said sounded very high.
But if you were responsible only for the death of, say, a million people or a quarter of a million people.
Hold it a second. You're throwing out more, you know, thoughts and challenges and attacks than I can respond to. So
sure.
let me take a few things that you said that are not correct. My book, in fact, details, and, you know, I would hope you know, perhaps at some point you'll get a chance to, you know, read it more extensively or carefully. My book details at great length the discussions of options short of war that were considered to deal with the Saddam Hussein problem. I mean, when the administration first came into office in 2001 and was dealing with the deterioration of the containment strategy, the fact that there was weakening international support for the economic sanctions, in part for the reasons that you highlighted, that people were sensitive to the fact that it was having bad effects on the Iraqi people generally. Okay. So there was weakening support for the economic sanctions.
Hold on a second.
The weapons inspection Saddam Hussein had stopped cooperating with back in 1998.
That was Clinton who stopped that. He pulled the inspectors out so that he could bomb Iraq.
No. That's not correct. What happened was in 1998, in the summer, Saddam announced that he was no longer going to cooperate with the weapons inspectors. So the UN passed a resolution condemning him for that. A few months later, the UN passed another resolution condemning Saddam for that. And then finally in December, because the weapons inspectors couldn't function, the UN withdrew them. And at that point, President Clinton, saying that this was a major challenge to the UN and threat to the United States, ordered 3 days of bombing that was called Operation Desert Fox.
Right, and we know now that probably what Saddam was trying to do was prevent his neighbors from knowing that he had no weapons. But the point from some hit website. On page 331 of your book, you say, suppose that President Bush had made the public case for war entirely accurately, because you talk about all the failed intelligence. In light of all that we'd learned afterward about Iraqi WND programs, he would have presented the case essentially as he did, without using the CIA's incorrect assessment. He would have said that Saddam still intended, and you italicized that, to produce WMD. In other words, you guys were determined to attack no matter what.
No, that's what I wanted to address. You made an assertion earlier that we know that Saddam Hussein was not a WMD threat. And we don't know that. On the contrary, we know the opposite of that. It is quite clear, and everybody knows, that the CIA made a terrible error in saying that we would find chemical and biological weapon stockpiles in Iraq. That was an error, that was wrong, and it was a catastrophe that the administration relied on that intelligence.
And you guys keep saying it was the CIA. It was curveball. It was a few selected crazies that were coming out of your office and Dick Cheney's office.
No. Wrong. That's completely wrong. I don't know where you're getting this information, but the CIA had intelligence that was the same as the intelligence it had presented to the Clinton administration.
Sir, we have to take a break. Would you like to continue the conversation?
Sure.
Okay. If you don't mind, let me put you on hold here. We're talking with Douglas Feith. He's got a new book out. It's called War and Decision, Inside the Pentagon at the Dawn of the War on Terrorism. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Blindingly logical. Tom Hartman, nationwide, AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
Experience it and win with Tempur-Pedic. If you've been waiting for the absolute best time to try a life-changing Tempur-Pedic Swedish sleep system, this is it. Visit a participating retail store today and get your game piece for a chance to win $10,000 just for trying a Tempur-Pedic mattress. Simply call, click, or visit a participating retailer near you today to find out how. Call 1-800-433-2720 or visit Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. That's 1-800-433-2720 or Tempur-Pedic.com/experience. For official rules, go to www.experienceitandwin.com. Contest ends 3809. Offer void where prohibited.
President Barack Obama, a new leader, a new vision, a national call to action. MSNBC follows Barack Obama from Inauguration Day through the first 100 days. Understand the challenges we face and the change he will bring. Weekdays with Keith Olbermann, Chris Matthews, Rachel Maddow, and Joe Scarborough. The first 100 days on MSNBC, the place for politics.
taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
What is wrong with this man, Michael Steele?
Randy Rhodes.
First of all, he told congressional Republicans the goose egg that you laid on the president's desk was just beautiful. And then he attacked Democrats for being the obstructionist.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
And the only thing worse than stupidity is being proud of your stupidity.
3 to 6.
And the only thing worse than being proud about your stupidity is being proud and hypocritical about your stupidity.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
Hi, Tom Dwyer Automotive Services is your ally in a bad economy. We'll make sure you're not wasting your money or unknowingly running your vehicle into the ground. We provide value by offering quality service in a logical, prioritized manner, focusing on safety recommendations first, breakdown items next, and then your maintenance needs. Trust is the main reason people use our service. Our clients know we deliver comprehensive, honest, no BS service. We won't sell unneeded or random nonsense. Our service advisors aren't paid sales commission, so you can trust they're recommending services you need, not just building a paycheck. We're an ASE Blue Seal of Excellence facility, and our technicians efficiently service your vehicle right the first time. We offer a no-hassle 18-month, 18,000-mile warranty, free shuttle service, and in this economy, our same-as-cash financing can help. Let our existing clients tell you why they choose us. Go to our website at tomdwyer.com and watch the detailed client testimonials, and call us at 503-230-2300. Please let us help you preserve your car and your cash.
If you've ever wanted a truly spectacular diamond ring, you'll want to visit Jared this weekend. That's because this weekend, when you purchase your diamond at Jared, you'll receive up to a $1,000 reward toward the purchase of a beautiful diamond setting. Choose from thousands of diamonds and have your one-of-a-kind ring created right here at Jared in time for Valentine's Day. Get set in diamonds this weekend for a reward worth up to $1,000. This weekend, only at Jared.
It can only be Jared.
And now for the bonus round. If Jack and Jill went up the hill, where did Fred go?
Milwaukee.
Correct. If Jane is older than Dan, and Dan is older than Ed, how old am I?
41 on Wednesday?
Correct.
Yes.
How many movies has Netflix delivered so far?
Over 1 billion.
Correct! Netflix! Rent as many movies as you want for only $8.99 a month. No late fees ever. Start your free trial today. Netflix!
See terms of use.
Now recycle any brand of ink or toner cartridge at Staples and get $3 back in Staples Rewards. Recycling limit of 10 per calendar month per customer. Limit one Staples Rewards account per address. Visit staplesrewards.com for full details.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's progressive talk station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Welcome back. We're talking with Doug Fife. He has a new book out. It's called War and Decision, Inside the Pentagon and at the Dawn of the War on Terrorism. Over 500 pages of very thoughtful and detailed blow-by-blow, step-by-step history from Doug's point of view about exactly what happened and what led up to this war. And, Doug, if you want to finish a point from what we were talking about before, feel free. But and then I have two quick questions for you. We don't have a long segment here, but go ahead.
That's fine. I appreciate the chance to talk with you and your listeners. The point that I was making is that even though the CIA made this very serious mistake that we would find WMD stockpiles, chemical and biological weapons stockpiles, the fact is that after Saddam was overthrown, there was a major effort by United States, British, and Australian intelligence people to find out what we could find out about Iraq's WMD programs. And what they found was Saddam did maintain chemical and biological weapons programs. He had facilities, he had materiel, he had personnel, he had the intentions to have those weapons as soon as he got out from UN sanctions, and he had the capability to produce chemical and biological weapons stockpiles.
And how many other countries in the world also qualify for that?
Well, the important
60?
Thing,
70?
The important thing was Iraq was one of the few countries in the world that had been specifically told by the UN not to have it, and Iraq had used its WMD against both the Iranians in the Iran-Iraq war and against its own Kurds in the late 1980s.
And so when we were their ally. In fact, Don Rumsfeld had gone over and, you know, sold them the precursors for that stuff.
No, that's not right. I mean, I must say that, you know, every crazy thing that has been published recklessly on the Internet seems to be accepted by U.S. fact. And I really would suggest that you pay a lot more attention to whether there's evidence for these propositions that you obviously consider.
So
quite
the United States was not providing Saddam Hussein with the materials to build his military during the war with Iran.
The short answer is that the Iraqi chemical program was contrary to U.S. Policy and interests at the time, and I mean whether he took some things that we sold him and applied them to his chemical program is different from.
But when he gassed the Kurds, he was our ally, and it was publicly broadcast all around the world, and we just turned a blind eye to it.
I'm the last guy to defend the policies where we were cuddling up to people like that.
And I'm not trying to defend internet rumors, and but here's the question that I think is really important. The two questions. Now, let me just combine them and give you the, because we only have two or three minutes left here. Neoconservatives, Samuel Huntington, Francis Fukuyama. I quoted these guys in my book, What Would Jefferson Do? I thought that the idea that no two democracies have ever gone to war against each other, the idea that I believe that you are a believer in, that many of the neoconservatives, was a fundamentally good one. The problem is that the necessary precondition for a democracy is that there be a strong middle class. You can't have a democracy when people are so far below, you know, that threshold of survival and safety in Maslow's hierarchy of human needs that they will instead, when given a chance, vote for the strong man, as we saw in Gaza. And so how could you have thought that if we destroyed the infrastructure of Iraq with an initial bombing raid and we destroyed the economy of Iraq and we took out the government, that somehow a democracy would flourish when all the necessary preconditions for democracy had been taken out? And number two, where does the buck stop on this whole thing? Here we have, as I said, all these dead people. We can argue about the numbers, all these orphans, all these widows, this diaspora, 4 million or more people, you know, internally and externally displaced. Who's responsible for this?
All right. On the democracy question, I mean, one of the main points of my book was that we did not go to war in Iraq in order to spread democracy by the sword or to do a big political experiment in the Middle East. And people were saying that even at the time before the war started, and I actually went on the record in a New Yorker interview making it clear that would be a wrong motivation for the war. We went to war in Iraq because of the threats posed by the Saddam Hussein regime.
But that was the argument that was made by the Project for New American Century back in 1998 that you signed off on.
I don't know.
So that we would establish a democracy in the Middle East and be a stabilizing force.
No, you're mixing up two points. It was quite clear that if the Saddam Hussein regime were removed, if we went in to oust that regime by force, it was clear that something was going to have to be put in its place, and obviously being the United States, we were going to try to lay the foundation for democratic institutions.
Right.
But that's completely different from saying that we went to war in order to turn Iraq into a democracy. We didn't do that any more than we went to war in World War II in order to turn Japan and Germany into democracy.
No, I'm not suggesting that we did. What I'm saying is that how did we get it so wrong afterwards? By saying, okay, you know, Donald Rumsfeld trying to do this whole laissez-faire thing. Basically, we're going to step back and you know, it'll be chaotic for a little while, and then democracy is going to emerge.
Well, no. First of all, he never said that. And you'll see in my book, I have quite an elaborate discussion of the debates over democracy and how Rumsfeld in particular and I were arguing that we should be much more sober in our rhetoric about democracy in Iraq to try to take into account some of the points that you just made, with which I agree, that you need to have the building blocks in place to have democracy, and Iraq didn't have those building blocks.
Yeah.
On the other hand, it's made remarkable progress recently, and the elections this past weekend are...
And hopefully we'll do more. Doug Feith, his book War and Decision. Doug, thanks for being with us.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 866-303-2270.
Yee-haw is not a foreign policy. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now back to Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Taking back the mainstream media, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Tom Hartman here with you. Hey, whatever happened to smuggling the file in a cake? Here in Grand Junction, Colorado, an inmate in the Mesa County Jail sawed his way to freedom. He cut a hole in the roof of the exercise yard. First of all, how do you do this in the exercise yard without somebody noticing? Using hacksaw blades that were sent to him in the mail. The jail says they have no metal detector for scanning mail, but that may change. Do you think? Oh, my. 866-303-2270, our telephone number, tomhartman.com for our blog and for our live chat room, free live chat room, airamerica.com for our free live video web stream, and Henry in Burbank, California, listening on K-Talk. Hey, Henry, welcome to the show.
Hi. My question is, it sounds like Doug Feith is a war criminal, but if Barack Obama continues the war on terror in Afghanistan, would he be tried for war crimes also?
No, broadly speaking.
I think, is ginned up just like the war in Iraq was.
Yeah, but inheriting an ongoing conflict is different from starting one. I mean, we could go back and we could condemn LBJ for the Gulf of Tonkin resolution. We could go back and condemn whoever the president was in 1896.
But he's perpetuating
the Spanish-American War for blowing up taking a boiler explosion in the Maine and turning it into a war. Barack Obama is not a war criminal. Barack Obama may end up with his foot stuck to some really, really bad gum on the sidewalk. That's a lousy and very weak metaphor. But I think that Afghanistan, our war in Afghanistan, has the potential to be our Vietnam. And I've been saying this from day one. In fact, before we invaded Afghanistan back in 2002, I was saying we should not invade Afghanistan. On this radio show, I was saying we should not invade Afghanistan. And when Arundhati Roy was probably the most articulate writer on this topic, saying, they're bombing that country is going to accomplish nothing, particularly when they were willing to give up bin Laden to a third country for a fair trial if we would simply present the evidence against him. But no, Bush had to have his wars. But, we'll see how this plays out. Fred in Rochester Hills, Michigan. Hey, Fred.
Hey, Tom. It's good to talk to you.
Thank you.
You do a heck of a job.
Thank you.
But I was wanting to get on when Feifel was on there because there was a defense intelligence person, in fact, I think a couple of them that retired, that worked under Feif.
Mm-hmm.
And they were forced. She testified. In fact, there was a video on C-SPAN. She testified to Kolosky or something like that, Lieutenant Colonel, after she retired, to the fact of how she was forced to change intelligence reports, to fit the arguments.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and this is nothing new. I mean, we know from the Downing Street memo that I almost interrupted Doug Feith at one point to point that out, but then I thought, this is stuff that is broadly known to my listeners, that the British, back before the invasion, said that Bush is determined, this was in June or July, of 2002, that Bush is determined to fix the intelligence to meet his goal of initiating a war. But yeah, that testimony and others, there's a lot of information on the record. And I think that what Doug Feith is doing right now is trying to rewrite history in a way that's favorable to him. And of course, everybody does that. But what we need, what we really need, instead of, you know, and thanks for the point, instead of a bunch of guys writing books about these things, which is going to happen, is we need a good, serious congressional investigation. We need a commission, a congressional commission, to look into how did we get into this thing. And they should not just be looking, by the way, at the Bush administration. They should be looking at the Clinton administration, and they should be looking at the Bush 1 administration. I think this thing goes all the way back to April Gillespie. And I think that one of the reasons why Saddam Hussein, who was then our ally, who we were militarily supplying, that Saddam Hussein was encouraged to, or at least given the wink and the nod, to invade Kuwait, was because George Bush Sr. wanted to have a war that would raise his popularity ratings and get him reelected. And the mistake that he made, which his son pointed out in 1999 to his biographer, the mistake that Bush Sr. made was he had his war was over in 100 hours. If he had stretched it out for 3 months, he probably would have gotten reelected because he would have been a wartime president. As Cindy Sheehan testified under oath before Congress, talking about Mickey Herskowitz, who's on the record about this, the guy who was hired by the Bush family, longtime family friend of the Bush family, well-known writer, he was hired by the family to write George Bush's autobiography, A Charge to Keep, which is in print in bookstores now. He wrote the first draft, as Cindy Sheehan pointed out.
As a matter of fact, in interviews in 1999 with respected journalists and longtime Bush family friend Mickey Herskowitz, then Governor George Bush stated, "One of the keys to being seen as a great leader is to be seen as commander-in-chief. My father had all this political capital built up when he drove the Iraqis out of Kuwait, and he wasted it. If I have a chance to invade, if I had that much capital, I'm not going to waste it. I'm going to get everything passed that I want to get passed, and I'm going to have a successful presidency," end quote.
And let's remember, when he ran for Congress unsuccessfully from Texas in 1977, his one topic on which he ran was privatizing Social Security, which he tried to bring up again when he said in 2004, "Now I got all this political capital." Dave in Endicott, New York. Dave, you want to disagree with me. What's up?
How you doing?
I'm well. How about you?
Ran into your show by accident, and wow. I like to listen because I like to have an open mind.
Okay.
But aside from my problems with Obama's credentials or qualifications, you know, he was elected, so I said, okay, let's just see what happens. I'm a conservative. I'm a business owner and middle-aged. I'm 46, so open mind. I consider myself an open mind. But I guess my biggest question to you would be, you seem like a big supporter of these programs that I call socialist-type programs. And then I said, well, who's Tom Hartman? I went on the Air America site, and I see your credentials, travel the world. Where have you seen socialism to this extent be successful in the world?
Well,
socialized health, socialized programs.
We did our program for an entire week in March from Denmark. The Danish National Radio lent us a studio. And we interviewed the number two, you know, their equivalent of a vice president. We interviewed several members of parliament. We interviewed the editors of the two largest newspapers. We interviewed a bunch of average Danes and a number of Americans who live in Denmark, American expats who are, I think, perhaps by coincidence, all of them were married to Danes. To a person, they all love it there. And I can tell you, and I lived in Germany for a year back in 86, 87. We had national health care. We had a strong union system. We had what you're calling socialism, and it worked very well. All across Europe. I would encourage you to travel to Europe, Dave. I think that you will find that it actually does work. And in terms of defining socialism, you know, Karl Marx defined socialism as the government controlling the means of production and supply. And I disagree with that. That's not the kind of socialism that I'm a fan of. I don't want the government making my shoes or my TV set. But when it comes to the things that are the commons, I want a socialist fire department. And I think you do, too. I want a socialist police department. And I suspect you do, too. I want socialist highways and roads and bridges. And I suspect you do, too. I would like to have a socialist air traffic control system. I want to have a socialist military. I want all those things. And I think that those things that have to do with what we call the commons, that we all share, whether our food supply is safe, whether our drugs are safe, whether our air is breathable, whether our water is drinkable, and frankly, whether we die when we get sick, are all the areas that the government should have responsibility for. And at that point, we should draw a barrier and say, and nothing else. And
okay,
so where we're probably, you know, the difference probably between you and I is that I'm saying it, the, you know, the getting sick part is I think we should have a national health program.
Well, not even that, because who doesn't think that we should take care of people who need health care? I mean,
I can give you the names of a lot of people who think we shouldn't. They think that we're encouraging people not to work. They think we're encouraging laziness.
What I've heard, the people who discourage national health says, and you touched on it earlier talking about Michael Savage when he was talking about the illegal alien health care.
Sure.
Who will pay for that? You and
yeah.
I.
Well, we will, and we have a problem in this country with people being in this country illegally. We absolutely have a problem. I'm the first to acknowledge I wrote a whole chapter about it in my book, Screwed. The difference that I have with Michael Savage is that he wants to go after the people. And I'm looking at these people as being people like my grandfather who came over here from Norway who were looking for opportunity. I don't think that we have an illegal people problem. We have an illegal employer problem. If we started taking employers, people who employ illegals, people who are not citizens, and throwing their asses in jail, all of a sudden you'd see about 11 million people heading for the southern borders.
Well, my
because there'd be no more jobs.
My bigger concern with socialism is it says, talking about those same employers, it says, we want to take money from those who have and give it to those who haven't. Now,
socialism doesn't say, well, Karl Marx, Marxism says that. What I'm saying is we want to say that the amount that you're using of the commons, you should be paying for in proportion to that. If you're earning millions or hundreds of millions of dollars, the commons of our court system, the commons of our financial system, the commons of our banking system, the commons of our governmental system, you're using that in larger proportion than a guy who's making 50,000 bucks a year, and therefore you should be paying more for it. Dave, call back again. I love these kind of conversations. I'm sorry we've got to take a break right now, though, and stimulate the economy.
Visit HartmanRadio.com for live streaming video of the Tom Hartman Program.
What would Hartman do? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ, Portland's only progressive talk station.
Provider and licensing details are available.
If this is your paycheck, and this is your debt, what are your options? File bankruptcy and tread water the next 7 years? Or make a call for Care One Credit Counseling Services and start getting out of debt today. A Care One Credit Counseling Agency can help you get immediate relief from stress caused by debt, and you'll have one lower monthly payment instead of the pile you have right now. Call a Care One agent today, and you can start saving hundreds of dollars in fees and interest payments. Care One agencies have helped over 4 million people get out of debt, and they can help you too. Call 800-498-2983, 800-498-2983, and find out how you can lower your monthly payments up to 57%. One 15-minute phone call can change your life. Call 800-498-2983, 800-498-2983.
Taking the complicated and making it sound simple.
What is wrong with this man, Michael Steele?
Randy Rhodes.
First of all, he told congressional Republicans the goose egg that you laid on the president's desk was just beautiful. And then he attacked Democrats for being the obstructionist.
The Randy Rhodes Show.
And the only thing worse than stupidity is being proud of your stupidity.
3 to 6.
And the only thing worse than being proud about your stupidity is being proud and hypocritical about your stupidity.
On AM 620 KPOJ.
Wouldn't you love to be a lucky parent who's proud of your child's grades? Well, now you can turn poor grades around to A's, even when they're failing. Call right now for a free copy of the Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call 1-888-635-1248.
I'm Dan Bassmajan. During my 20 years as an educator, the kids with failing grades were sent to me. I discovered that bad grades don't come from bad or lazy kids. They come from kids who are overwhelmed by everything they have to learn. That's why I created The Simple Way to an A. This system shows kids how to learn and how to ace every test. It's so easy. Your teenager will earn better grades in 30 days guaranteed and become the happy, confident kid you know they can be.
For a limited time, Dan is offering all parents a free copy of his Top 10 Secrets to Improving Grades. Call now so we can send them to you absolutely free. 888-635-1248. That's 888-635-1248. Call 888-635-1248.
Hey, Carl Wolfson from The Morning Show. Who says there's no such thing as a free lunch?
This month at Floor Trends Northwest in Sellwood, when you schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, you also get a gift certificate good for lunch at either Hawthorne Fish House Southeast or Corbett Fish House Southwest. Now's the time to start planning for your spring home improvement projects. Schedule your complimentary flooring estimate, tile, hardwood, or carpet, by calling 503-236-8775 or visit floortrendsnw.com.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. True confession, I'm hungry. I can't stop thinking about the healthy fish and chips, classic or spicy Baja fish taco platters, crisp salads, and Dana's homemade soups at the Hawthorne Fish House and the Corbett Fish House. Salmon, halibut, catfish, or cod, it's all delicious. If you want a taste of the Midwest, try the perch, walleye, or even the fried cheese curds. They make a mean, spicy black bean garden burger as well. Hawthorne Fish House Southeast and Corbett Fish House Southwest.
What's worse than losing half of your investments? It's recovering and letting it happen all over again. I'm Bill Meyer, president of Strategic Group, a Portland investment advisor firm. If you're looking for an investment advisor that has a different strategy geared for investing in this volatile market and have $500,000 of investable assets, call now for a free consultation. 503-222-9737.
Real people, real results. Strategic Group.
Now more of Tom Hartman Nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Have you ever stared into a starry sky? Lying on your back, you're asking why? What's the purpose? I wonder who am I? Have you ever stared?
Welcome back to Progressive Talk Radio, brought to you by you, our listeners, supporting our advertisers, supporting our affiliates. Let them know that you're listening. And speaking of our advertisers and our affiliates, every week we bring on one of the folks who advertises on one of our local stations and give them an opportunity, give them a minute to plug their product, and a minute, this is just a very short segment, and a minute to tell us what happened when they advertised on Progressive Talk Radio. And today we have with us, for our advertiser success story, Michael Siegel. He's the owner of Riviera Upholstery. And Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Tom.
Riviera Upholstery in Los Angeles, right, or in the L.A. area?
Yes, just south of downtown.
There you go. So give us a minute about Riviera. Tell us about your product.
Well, we started upholstering in 1938, and then we invented the Riviera sofa bed in 1954, and we've been doing upholstering for the last 70 years. And what we do is we go out to customers' homes and bring all the fabric to them and have them pick what they want, and then we bring it to our factory. All of our work is done by hand. We don't do any assembly line work. And we usually strip the furniture down to the frame and put new cotton, new padding, new cushions, so it's like brand new when it's done. And generally the furniture needs to be, you know, older, because the older furniture is made a lot better than new. And we've been in the same building since 1938.
That is absolutely so great. And I know I've read your spots. You know, I mean, I voice your spots for K-Talk there, and it's like, you know, one of the points you make is that very often your old furniture is better built than the new stuff, so why not upgrade it with new upholstery? Michael, we're talking with Michael Siegel, Riviera Upholstery, and in Los Angeles. The phone number, by the way, is 800-55-COVER, 855-COVER if you're in the L.A. area and you want to check out Riviera Upholstery. What happened when you started advertising on K-Talk? How'd that work?
It's been great. We've normally been on television most of our years in business, but we started with K-Talk about a year and a half ago, and it's been great. And you're the only radio station that we use. It works. It's the customers that call us are wonderful, cordial. We usually agree on what we're going to do, and it's been terrific. We get a lot of calls. It's helped our business, especially now with the economy. It's helping even more. And it's good for the customer because their older furniture is a better investment for them than to buy new. But the radio station's been terrific.
You know, one of the points that's often made about advertising on radio is that it is the most cost-effective way to reach a large number of people, one of the most efficient ways, one of the cheapest ways to actually reach a large number of people. Have you found this to be one of your most cost-effective forms of advertising?
Yeah, no question about it. It's been very cost effective. I wish we would have started with you guys a lot earlier than we did.
Great. Mike, thank you so much. Michael Siegel, Riviera Upholstery, their telephone number if you're in the L.A. area, give them a shout. 800-55-COVER, 55-COVER, as I have said many times in the ads I've recorded for you guys, and I've been pleased to do it. Michael, thanks for dropping by today.
Thank you.
Great talking with you. Back to our phone calls, 866-303-2270, our telephone number, Anna in Greeley, Colorado. Hey, Anna, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I wanted to tell you that name of that person is April Glaspie, but that's not all I want to tell you. I wonder if you might want to interview sometime some representative of the Revolutionary Association of the Women of Afghanistan. The women of Afghanistan have had a horrible time since the Russians left. When the Russians were there, they could go to school.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a similar thing going on in Iran right now. There's a strong women's movement in Iran, and the Iranian government has recently imprisoned about 60 of their leaders. And the reason that there's a strong women's movement, by and large, in Iran right now is because during the time that the Shah was there, dictator that he was a secularist, just like Saddam Hussein was. And, in fact, his own wife was the role model for this. Women did not wear the veil in public. Women were allowed to be doctors and lawyers and teachers. They could go anywhere they wanted. They could do anything they wanted. They could rise as high in society as they wanted, with, you know, I suppose within some limits.
I knew a lot of women who were going to school at the university, at Oklahoma State University.
From Iran.
I knew a lot of the Iranian students.
Yeah. And what's happened is this religious revolution in Iran, just like the Taliban in Afghanistan, has started suppressing women.
I know that. And you know how they got, do you remember Iran-Contra?
Mm-hmm.
And we twisted that around, and we've changed Iran's government how many times?
Yeah.
We ran off, the CIA ran off Mossadegh, and then we put the Shah in command.
Yep.
And he was brutal. He was a brutal dictator, like we always put in power. I'd like for somebody like that guy who was on a while ago,
Doug Feith,
to actually name one country to which we have exported democracy, if you will. One.
Yeah, the example that they typically give, and good point, Anna, thank you for the call. The example that they typically give when you ask a question like that is Germany and Japan after World War II. And the thing that we have to keep in mind that differentiates them, Germany and Japan, from most other countries, frankly, I don't think it so much differentiates them from, for example, North Korea or Burma. But the thing that differentiates them from most other countries is, and the reason why not a single U.S. soldier, my dad was part of the occupation of Japan right after World War II. He joined the army during the war, and it ended while he was in basic training. The reason why not a single soldier died is because Germany and Japan were run by cult leaders. Tojo and Hirohito in Japan and Hitler in Germany were leading cults. They were actual religious cults. It's why in Japan you had people willing to fly into the decks of airplanes, you know, the kamikaze pilots. In Germany you had people, you know, willing to die, you know, fight to the death for the Führer. They had this religious cult. And when people saw the horrors of the cult and they realized how dysfunctional the cult was, they had that waking up from the cult moment, and the entire nation shook its head and said, whoa, we went crazy. And to this day, they're apologizing for the cult, by and large, the vast majority of them. That's a very different thing than in Iraq, where people were simply trying to get by. They weren't buying into Saddam Hussein. He wasn't peddling any big cult. We go in and we blow up their country, and we expect them to be grateful to us? Not quite. You know, they would like a functioning country, thank you very much. It's a whole different thing.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Thanks for listening to the AM 620 KPOJ podcast, sponsored by the Better World Club, providing travel services, auto insurance, and 24/7 nationwide roadside assistance, but not part of the highway lobby. This is Tom Hartman, Better World Club member since first moving to Oregon. Check out their eco benefits like the nation's only bicycle roadside assistance and their e-newsletter, Kicking Asphalt, at betterworldclub.com.
Welcome to AM 620 KPOJ. Now Tom Hartman, nationwide, 9 to noon. AM 620 KPOJ and 620KPOJ.com.
is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the third hour of our show. Tom Hartman here with you. And Matt Miller on the line with us. He is a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, a contributing editor at Fortune Magazine, award-winning contributor to the New York Times Magazine, the Atlantic Monthly, and other national magazines. He's also the host on NPR's popular Week in Review weekend program, Left, Right, and Center. Websites mattmilleronline.com and, of course, AmericanProgress.org. And perhaps most significantly, he's the author of a brilliant new book, The Tyranny of Bad Ideas, Letting Go of Old Ways of Thinking, of the Old Ways of Thinking to Unleash a New Prosperity. Matt Miller, welcome to the show.
Great to be with you, Tom.
Matt, you identify a series of dysfunctional ideas that we have come to believe, I would submit, as a consequence of 30 or 40 years of right-wing funded think tanks going back to Joe Coors and Richard Mellon Scaife and others. And just some of these points, let me go through them very quickly and then let you riff at will on this stuff. Mm-hmm. Our kids will earn more than we do. Free trade is always good no matter who gets hurt. Employers should be responsible for health coverage. Taxes hurt the economy. Schools should be a local matter. And money always follows merit. These are all lies of the Reich.
Well, yeah, I call them dead ideas that we've essentially become in the grip of. And look, dead ideas got us into the economic ditch we're in now. If we had uncovered the dead idea that financial markets could regulate themselves a few years ago, which we've just seen the implosion of now in the last 6 months, we could have avoided a lot of the pain and suffering we're going through now.
But see, that was a dead idea that we discovered in 1929, too.
Right.
It comes around all over again.
That's right. And similarly, the dead ideas I'm talking about, the book, I believe unless we explode and move beyond those dead ideas to what I think are the better ideas we need, we won't get back on a path toward durable prosperity. The one that is most in the headlines today is the idea that money always follows merit. And, you know, when you see what's happening with the CEO compensation at these big banks and the idea, which has had some traction in America, that basically people end up economically where they deserve to. When you see how people are walking away with, $10 million, $20 million, $30 million, sometimes $100 million, the people running these institutions, after they've gutted them, you know, some of the major banks in the country, run them into the ground, and yet they're walking away with these kind of riches, it's exactly the explosion of that idea that President Obama is trying to take on by saying we're going to have to cap some of the compensation for people who are on the federal taxpayer dole at this point, and we need to get back to an idea that if we're going to have the kind of opportunity and security we want in a modern economy, we're going to have government play a bigger role in making sure that things like health care and pension security, et cetera, aren't left to the tender mercies of the market.
Right. When you consider that the CEO of Citibank, if he takes a paycheck every 2 weeks like most Americans do, his paycheck every 2 weeks would be $1 million, or just a little short of that, a $20 million paycheck that he's drawing, plus other compensation. It's actually much more than that, but it would be $1 million. Can you imagine if you got a paycheck every 2 weeks and you look at it and there's a one followed by seven zeros, $1 million? How could you even spend that much money? I mean, I'm sure it's possible, but it just seems absurd. And conventional wisdom in the United States from 1935, from 1913 till 1920, and from 1935 until 1981 was that, you know, anybody making up to $3 million a year, that's a hell of a lot of money, but that's fine. They can make up to $3 million a year. But after that, we're going to tax it at either 91 or 74% tax after that point. You know, up until $3.2 million, no problem. But after $3.2 million, you know, you're going to have to kick it back to the feds. And the result of that was that we didn't have enormous wealth aggregating at the top. We didn't have the growth of dynastic families, and we did have the growth of a strong middle class. Where did we go wrong, and how do we get back on track here, Matt Miller?
Well, one of the things, I also think it's important to distinguish between, you know, if there's entrepreneurial wealth for people who start businesses and create something of value to society, that's one thing. But what's really obscene and I think really corrosive for democracy is when you've got people making what we're talking about in the financial sector while the companies have been run into the ground, and when the federal government is investing $20 or $30 or $40 billion of taxpayer money in them. So that to me is the most offensive, and that's really, we have to get get back to a sense of shaming on that. I think the group we actually need that would help on some of this is CEOs against CEO greed. We need some of the business leaders who are not swept up in this to step forward and say, you know what, our brethren running these companies are not behaving in ways that are consistent with American values, because not all CEOs are like this, and we're going to need to have some of them step forward to help right things. But I think the bigger issue still, Tom, is that to get out of the economic mess we're in and build the kind of prosperity that we can have, we're going to have to revisit these old ways of thinking that have trapped us in healthcare, on schools, on trade, on taxes, and more. I mean, in healthcare, for example, we're still stuck in the dead idea that your company should take care of you, the whole employer-based system right. of healthcare benefits that is unique.
Which was designed to keep people in place for 30 and 40 years back in the day when having somebody on the assembly line for 30, 40 years was a good thing both for the individual and for the company.
Right, but as we know, that's not the way. People don't work in one job for 30 years at a major company that can afford this. And remember, back then, healthcare cost a tiny fraction of what it costs right. now. So businesses are rightly saying these healthcare costs are killing us. But, you know, when you go to business leaders and say, you're right, we need to shift these costs from business to government, very often the business leaders say, well, wait a minute, we don't want the government to step in on this. And I say to them, who else do you think is available in a modern 21st century economy if we're not going to have this burden on business, which I think it shouldn't be? Business has to help pave the way for government to fund the kind of health security that average Americans need.
Right. And I would say it should be considered part of our commons. It should be considered part of the infrastructure of America. The right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence, the first word, life. You don't have a right to life if when you get sick, you cannot get healed.
That's right. And we have, look, in America, we are the only wealthy nation where one of the biggest sources of personal bankruptcy is medical bills. I mean, that's again, that's shameful. It's insane, and it's totally avoidable. We can find ways to have universal coverage for every American. There are ways to do it that aren't exactly, that don't mean what's always feared is a big government takeover. There are ways to do it that Switzerland and Holland have pioneered that make sure everybody has a decent health care plan. There's still a role for some market forces to ensure there's some incentives for trying to lower costs, because we need to lower costs. But it's all doable once we get past the dead idea that this should be companies providing this, not the country.
We're talking with Matt Miller, his new book, The Tyranny of Dead Ideas. And MattMillerOnline.com, his website. Matt, how is it? I mean, is it simply because only 5% of Americans have passports and 3% of Americans have traveled overseas or whatever the numbers are, they're in that neighborhood, or something else? How is it that we are surrounded by countries, including Canada, which you didn't need to have a passport to go visit, where executive compensation is nothing like it is in the United States, where taxes are on the very, very wealthy are much, much higher, where they don't have huge tax loopholes for people like the Bush family who derive most of their benefit from things like investments in treasuries. And certainly, as you pointed out, most of the industrialized countries of the world, whether it's the European countries or whether it's Taiwan, South Korea, and Japan, and Australia, that how is it that it works so well in all these other countries by and large? It doesn't work here, and the average American has no clue.
You know, it's a great question, and I think it's because we have been. You know, there have been forces that are organized in our society, as you know and talk about often, that have been trying to essentially make sure that we remain trapped as a culture in what I'm calling these dead ideas. But I think at this moment, we're in a moment that's like 1928. You know, if you had asked average Americans in 1928, should the federal government play a role in assuring against poverty and old age? Should the federal government help have a role in helping people who lose their jobs get tided over until they could get traction in new employment? Or should the federal government even try and mitigate economic downturns? In 1928, average Americans would have said, no, we're a nation of rugged individualists, this is a matter for the family circle or local private charities. But by 1940, all those ideas were common sense. I think we are in the same situation and we're not going to have a depression, by the way. It's going to be a recession, but it's nothing like what happened in the 30s. But in the same way, we're at the leading edge of a revolution in the way we think about everything from healthcare to taxes to trade to schools. And the forces of this current economic crisis and the continuing pressures of globalization and technological change are going to help force a change in our national mindset, and we're going to get where we need to go on this stuff. We're just a little late to the party.
Yeah, so we need the new ideas to replace the old ideas, and it ain't like we're trying to reinvent the wheel or we're trying to invent the wheel from scratch. It has already been invented in many other places.
That's right, and it used to be, because one of the things I say, I talk about destined ideas in the book, and one of them is that we've got to take lessons from abroad that make sense, and we used to. We modeled our university system based on what the Germans did. We even modeled our political institutions, absent the king, based on what we liked in the Brits. There are things right. We can learn from Finland and Singapore, Western Europe, you name it.
There you go. Matt Miller, mattmilleronline.com, americanprogress.org, his new book, The Tyranny of Dead Ideas. Thanks, Matt.
This is Tom Hartman.
Annoying Republicans by defending the Constitution. Tom Hartman, Nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. Now, I want to talk to you about gold. Gold is real money, and it's been real money for over 5,000 years. Yes, there will be fluctuations in the price of gold, but gold will still be real money when the dollar is just a footnote in history. That's why I began buying gold years ago, and now I acquire gold and silver coins through ITM Trading. You can call ITM, too, at 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. There may be rumors of a strong dollar policy or rallies that send the dollar higher for a short time, but in my humble opinion, the long-term future for the dollar is very uncertain. That's why some nations don't even want U.S. dollars today. That's why I'm buying gold for the long term. So call my friends at ITM Trading and talk to their experts. They'll answer your questions and send you a free information packet about owning gold to get you started. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. That's 1-888-OWN-GOLD. It's really very simple. Just talk to the experts at ITM Trading. Call 1-888-OWN-GOLD. 1-888-OWN-GOLD.
You know, the ones, fives, tens, twenties, fifties, and hundreds, that money is backed by what is called the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, the Federal Reserve.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I don't know about you, but I have no faith in this government. And as far as its credit rating, if the U.S. government were rated by one of these rating companies,
what would it be? Zero worth? It's Mike Malloy.
I mean, how do you rate a nation that's $12 trillion in debt?
Evening, 8 to 11. AM 620 KPOJ. 620KPOJ.com.
In the next minute, I'm going to challenge you to believe it or leave it. How? I'm going to show you how you can get a brand new top brand laptop free. Just log on to freelaptopchallenge.com. Of course, a lot of you won't believe me, and I guess unfortunately you'll forget this ad and miss out. But there are listeners who'll give it a try and log on to freelaptopchallenge.com, and yes, they will be able to get a brand new laptop free. See, thousands of people have received free laptops online, and now you can too. It all works because companies got smart. Instead of blowing their budgets on expensive TV ads, they now give away stuff online. So what are you going to do? Ignore this ad? Or log on to freelaptopchallenge.com and get yourself a top brand, top quality laptop for free. Even if you don't have access to a computer right now, this offer is available all day. So write this down. Freelaptopchallenge.com. I'm telling you, it really is that easy. Who wouldn't want a free laptop? Go on, I challenge you. Log on to freelaptopchallenge.com and check out all the details. Freelaptopchallenge.com.
A child's bedtime should also be a time to feel safe, warm, and protected. But for 8,000 Oregon foster children separated from family and friends, nights can feel long and lonely. To help make those nights a little cozier, Sleep Country USA is collecting pajamas for foster kids big and small. But they can't do it without you. Bring your gift of new pajamas, packaged socks, and underclothes to any Sleep Country, and they'll be matched with a foster child in need. Help make an Oregon foster child's nights a little cozier with a gift of new pajamas, new socks, and underclothes, and you'll sleep better too. Sleep Country knows not everyone can be a foster parent, but anyone can help a foster child.
Help a foster child today by bringing your gift of new pajamas, socks, or underclothes to Sleep Country. Call 1-888-88-SLEEP to find the Sleep Country store nearest you.
Now, recycle any brand of ink or toner cartridge at Staples and get $3 back in Staples Rewards. Recycling limit of 10 per calendar month per customer. Limit one Staples Rewards account per address. Visit StaplesRewards.com for full details.
Beaverton Lodge Retirement Residence offers independent senior living in the heart of Beaverton within walking distance of the Beaverton Library and the Stuhr Senior Center. Visit and discover the affordable luxury of Beaverton Lodge with its spacious apartments, large decks, and in-room storage, all in a woodland setting. Visit their website at beavertonlodge.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
I think it's moving in that direction. Welcome back. Tom Hartman here with you, helping you win the water cooler wars. The Tom Hartman radio program, and time now for our regular weekly feature, Geeky Science. It's cool. It rocks. It's a good thing, you know. It's actually keeps us all alive.
I'll show you just how cool scientists are. We study everything, that's why we're cool. And yes, most of us got high marks in school. And proud. Paleoanthropology, how we evolved. Zoology studies animals, did you know? Physiology is the stuff that's inside you. Cosmology, the universe and how it fits
in. Yep, it's our Geeky Science Rock segment.
Organisms and their weirdness.
Because science is so cool. I'm telling you, I can't. I'm a science geek. What can I say? And in fact, almost all three of my kids are now becoming scientists. One of them is a scientist, and two are on their way. Where did all the animals come from? This is a particularly interesting story. The AAAS. If you're into science, you're not a member of the AAAS. Big mistake. Go to sciencemag.org or science.org and check it out. The American Association for the Advancement of Science. They publish a wonderful magazine, Science, and have a great website. Phil Bardinelli, writing in Science Now Daily News, where did all the animals come from? This has been one of the things that the anti-Darwinists, the creationists, have been using for a long time to say, see, here's proof that, you know, God created the earth in 7 days, et cetera, even though if those days weren't all that long, because the fossil record seems to show an explosion. It's referred to as the Cambrian explosion. 450 million years ago, all of a sudden there were animals all over the place. And where did they come from? There didn't seem to be any precursors to them. Turns out that, in fact, 100 million years before that, in other words, instead of 540 million years ago, all of a sudden there was animals. 100 million years before that, the first serious animals started to emerge. The difference is that they didn't have exo or endoskeletons. They didn't have hard parts. They didn't have bones, and they didn't have shells. The first family of animals was a family that is still animals, which is sponges. So what these scientists did is they looked at a protein that sponges produce. It's called 24-IPC. And they said, let's see if in the fossil record going back more than 540 years, we can find this protein, 24-IPC. And so they took drilled core samples, and you know, they went back 550, 560, 600 million years, 650 million years, and sure enough, they were full of it. So the Demospongiae, that class of animals, was doing well, thank you very much, 100 million years earlier. Turns out they're, you know, the animals, well, to quote Science News, as a result, animals appeared on Earth slowly, as Darwin suspected, and not suddenly and spectacularly, as the fossil record until we have today's knowledge, seems to show. Fascinating stuff. What makes locusts swarm? What makes locusts form? Locusts are actually just grasshoppers that went nuts. Seriously, they're not a special. They're not a separate species. They are transformed. Something transforms them from little green hoppy things into these crazed brown things, where their mouths actually get bigger, their eyes get bigger, their ability to jump long distances and travel long distances change. I mean, they physiologically, but more importantly, psychologically change. What is it? Well, what we know triggers it is a lack of food. So that lack of food causes the grasshoppers to form and to somehow change themselves into locusts so that they can then swarm off in long distances in search of food, which a regular grasshopper can't do. He can hop across your backyard, but that's about it. Now they found the chemical involved. It's a chemical that's in our brains, too. It's called serotonin. The SSRI drugs, for example, Wellbutrin, Prozac, these are selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. They increase the levels of available serotonin. I guess the lesson to this is don't give Prozac to a grasshopper. It'll turn into a locust. Actually, they think that knowing now the mechanism, they may be able to come up with some biological ways of controlling locusts. Another question, why is it that elements that are ionically different, like sodium and chlorine, they link together really quickly to form what we know as table salt? Everybody knows about this. This is kind of science 101, you know, opposites attract. Ionic opposites, pluses and minuses attract. Now scientists have found a whole, using boron, that actually it's possible that elements that are both positively charged or both negatively charged, in other words, equals can attract as well. This is really interesting. Here's another tip. Star wall. Anybody complain about noisy neighbors? Well, in the heart of galaxy M33, 2.7 million light years away from the constellation Triangulum, the astronomers have discovered a wall-like structure. It's actually a dense linear zone of gas and dust. It's a pretty remarkable thing, actually. You can see the picture over at the NASA's website. Quite remarkable. So, our science news for the week. We'll be back with your calls at 866-303-2270, our telephone number, and right after this.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Visit us online at hartmanradio.com.
Wasn't Jesus a community organizer? Tom Hartman, nationwide, weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ. Now more of Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
Program, the place where we talk about the issues multinational corporations would really rather they didn't know all that about.
Better take off your coat. Real slow.
Well, in this case, she didn't have one to begin with, actually.
Better take off your shoes. I'll take your shoes.
Actually, she wasn't even quite a she.
Baby, take off your dress. Yes, yes, yes. You can leave your hat on.
Yeah, a Florida man. No, she wasn't wearing a hat either. A Florida man was arrested yesterday after spotted fondling and making out in his car in a supermarket parking lot with two inflatable, with real orifices, love dolls. Yes, witnesses said that Mr. Bartusek was performing activity with two different blow-up dolls in his vehicle. And I will leave the rest of the explicit nature of this to your imagination rather than read it to you. When confronted by police, by the way, Mr. Bartusek said that he was headed to Target, to get some clothes for his dolls. That's what he had to do. He had to buy them clothes. It sounds like a good story. Yeah, it's a... They apparently needed something after the way he had been. Well, in any case, congratulations to D. Harlow in our chat room. We are going to send you for the coolest comment of the day. Let's give serotonin to neocons and hope they fly away. There you go. That's the solution. Let's just give them serotonin and hope they fly away. You know, high doses of Prozac, that would do it, right? D. Harlow, I'm going to send you a copy, an autographed copy, if you will. Sean's in the chat room right now, and I think that you still are too. Yep, you are. And so if you'll just IM her your address, your postal address, we will send you an autographed copy of We the People, A Call to Take Back America, my 185-page illustrated history of America and American activism, our sort of graphic novel. 866-303-2270, our telephone number. Zeph in Valley Village, California, listening on K-Talk. Hey, Zeph, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, I support your sponsors, by the way. That prostate medicine is great. I can tell you it's done wonders for me and my a good friend of mine also.
The stuff actually does work, yes.
Oh, it works. Tom, it works. Within 30, 40 days, it kicks in, and I'm telling you, it works.
Okay.
We'll
stop right there, Zeph, because we're getting into the realm of too much information, Louise says. Anyhow, what'd you call about?
All right, listen. There are two books that I want to refer you to. One by Paul Begala, in which he it's called "It's Still the Economy, Stupid," which
yep.
he wrote during the 90s.
Yeah.
And he chronicles that Dick Cheney went from our Secretary of Defense in the Persian Gulf War to CEO of Halliburton during the embargo of Iraq during the Clinton administration, in which he, as CEO of Halliburton, was doing business with Saddam Hussein during the embargo. And
That's
then,
right.
of course, he becomes our vice president on the and mops up on the rebuilding of Iraq and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Dick Cheney has gone from being, you know, a middle class guy to being one of the hyper rich. And he did it by playing off on his government connections, going all the way back, frankly, to the Nixon and Ford administrations. And it's another brilliant example of the criminal circular door, revolving door in Washington, D.C. that we need to put an end to. Zeph, thanks a lot for pointing that out. I appreciate it. Dan in Minneapolis. Hey, Dan.
Yep.
What's up?
Oh, yes. Hi, sir. I'm ex-military, got sent over to Germany and then spent 4 years in France right after that with my French wife. Entered the military as a Republican, got out, and got to see a total different spectrum and was absolutely blown away. My big concern right now is healthcare. I would like to see these right wings that say, let it compete. This is always their mantra. Well, I'd like to let the government set up a program where it actually competes against the health cares out there already.
Yep.
The socialized health care is actually great health care, and they put out all this propaganda that, oh, people come from Canada back here to get care. This is absolutely false. I mean, we live in America now just for 1 year, and we keep our French health care, and every time we go back to visit family, we get our medication, we get everything there, and it's just absolutely mind-boggling the price that we pay there compared to the price for prescription drugs and set things here.
Yeah, we really need to. The simple way to do this, Dan, and it doesn't involve shutting down healthcare companies or health insurance companies, rather, or HMOs or anything else, is to simply say any American can buy into Medicare. You know, any American can simply buy into Medicare. It just make it that simple, and you know, it'd be a couple hundred bucks a month, and in all probability, and relatively inexpensive. It's a baseline of service. There'll still be health insurance companies, you know, that will pay for things like cosmetic surgery and whatnot. But any American can buy into Medicare for all, and you know, the door is open. And it's what it's going to do is it's going to clean out the bottom feeders. It's going to clean out the companies that are ripping us off on essential medical services. And unfortunately, those companies tend to be in bed with groups like the AARP, for example, with United Healthcare. And so we're getting a lot of not altogether clean and coherent information. But just say, you know, we've got a single payer system in the United States that already works just fine. It's called Medicare, and any American can buy into it. And, you know, if you want to make it even a little bit more complicated, you could say, and we also have a socialized medicine system in the United States. It's called the Veterans Administration. Any person who has a veteran in their family, in their immediate family, can buy into the VA and build the VA system. But I frankly, I think the way to do it is just to say anybody can buy into Medicare.
Well, and I I absolutely agree with you on that, because I went from my firm offers an insurance, which is at about $1,000 a month, which has just only 100 people. Well, my wife got a better job with a few hundred thousand people with a major company, and we're getting it for $300 a month to cover the family. Right. I mean, it's the masses can drive down the cost.
That's
and I
right.
just don't understand why the right wing doesn't allow other people to buy into these to drive down the cost.
It's because a bunch of their buddies are making a fortune. Dollar Bill McGuire, the former CEO of United Healthcare, he took home his 10-year compensation when he left United Healthcare a year and a half ago. It was on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. In fact, they outed it. It was $1.78 billion. And I guarantee you every single one of those dollars that Bill McGuire took home, I don't know how this man can sleep at night, every one of those dollars that he took home was the result of somebody being told, no, I'm sorry, we won't cover that for you. And you know, we don't have a health care system in the United States. We have a health denial system in the United States. And,
yeah.
and it's a crime. It's, you know, for-profit.
That's the big thing. I just wanted to get the information out there that socialized medicine does work, and it works great. I just hate hearing these rumors how people hate the system in France. We got in the next day for appointments. I mean, we have just as difficult time getting an appointment here as we ever did there.
Yeah, and in France, it's not technically socialized because the doctors and hospitals, I don't believe, are employees of the government. I think the government simply pays the bills. And you have nonprofit organizations that are set up as, but I'm not. I don't want to pretend to be an expert on the French system. But it is. You're absolutely right. And any of us, and ask any American who's lived overseas for any period of time and used the healthcare system of any of the industrialized countries around the world, we are plain old flat out nuts not to embrace this. Dan, thanks so much for the call and thanks for listening to us there in Minneapolis. Tim in Santa Monica, California. Hey, Tim.
Hey, Tom. I was listening to, believe it or not, Sean Hannity yesterday or on Tuesday.
You have my sympathy, Tim.
He had Representative Mike Pence on.
Yeah.
And the subject of Obama stimulus is outreach, coming, visiting, the Senate and stuff came up. And Pence was really complimentary and really impressed and really respectful. And each time that he expressed that, Hannity would, of course, try to spin it and demonize Obama and, pull the conversation to a negative place. And I was impressed with Pence for not having gone for it, because he continued to be, favorable concerning Obama. And I even wrote him a complimentary email anyway.
So your point is that there are still a few Republicans out there who think that Obama's attempt at bipartisanship is something worth respecting?
Well, I think, yes, there are some.
But not
well, enough to listen to Hannity, because even when it's said in front of him by his own party, he's not going to allow it to go without comment. So that's basically it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Tim. Yeah, Hannity's just a shill. I mean, you have to understand that. Anybody who, mostly interviews politicians and sucks up to, he's a shill. Denise in Dearborn, Michigan. Hey, Denise, what's up?
Hi, Tom. I'm calling about Charles Darwin. He's been so demonized by the Christian creationists,
mm-hmm.
and yet it turns out that he had studied for the ministry. He was a devout Christian before he set out to do
his entire life, all the way to the end. In fact, he never saw evolution as in conflict with Christianity.
Pardon me?
He never believed that evolution was in conflict with Christianity.
And he felt that whatever he discovered, he had to reveal, even though some may have thought that it conflicted with his Christian beliefs. So I just want them to look at him in a more human way.
Yeah,
and
he's
written a book, and it's called On the Emotions of Men and Animals.
Mm-hmm.
And people who want to understand animals, it's a wonderful book.
Oh, thank you, Denise, for that. Another, if you're interested in Darwin, you really need to read David Loy's work, L-O-Y-E, David Loy, Darwin's Theory of Love. He's just got some great work out there. Google David L-O-Y-E. You'll find all of his books. We'll be right back with news from the Talk Radio News Service.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Fighting mind-numbing incompetence. Tom Hartman, nationwide. Weekdays 9 to noon, AM 620 KPOJ.
You know, it's not pleasant to talk about, but it's one thing that every man over the age of 30 should know about, an enlarged prostate. Prostate enlargement can cause frequent urination and even sexual problems. So between getting up in the middle of the night to urinate and possible sexual problems, an enlarged prostate becomes a giant pain in the... Well, you get the idea. Now, what if I told you there was an all-natural way to help your body keep your prostate healthy? There is. It's called Beta Prostate, and it's an all-natural prostate vitamin. No crazy medications with strange side effects, just a natural supplement that helps maintain your prostate. Beta Prostate has proven ingredients that target and feed your prostate with healthy nutrients. If you're over the age of 30, be proactive in keeping your prostate in good health. Try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803. Your health is too important to wait, so call now, 1-800-954-0803. That's 1-800-954-0803.
Carl Wolfson and friends.
Let's get to Joe the Plumber. He's covering the war in Israel.
6 to 9.
You're not going to believe what he said.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think journalists should be anywhere allowed war. And if you're going to sit there and say, well, look at this atrocity, well, you don't know the full story behind it half the time.
Yeah, you know, we should just take what the Pentagon says. No atrocities. You know, that's just war.
It's Carl Wolfson.
I think he's one of those people that had his 5 minutes of fame and now thinks he's really smart.
I kind of lean that he's an idiot.
Morning, 6 to 9.
AM 620 KPOJ.
Portland's only progressive talk station.
What if I said you could erase your wrinkles, tighten your skin, and make frown lines disappear from view, all without surgery or injections? With all the creams you've tried, you're probably skeptical. So I'm going to prove it to you by sending you a free trial of a scientific breakthrough called Hydroxytone. Shed years from your appearance faster than you ever thought possible.
I looked at her and I was just, wow, she looked so young.
I told her I couldn't believe how smooth her face looks. She's lost, what, 10 years at least?
Request your risk-free trial of this proven breakthrough today. The results are so impressive. Hydroxytone was given away in VIP gift bags at international film festivals.
She always looked good to me, but now I can't believe how young she looks.
Call now for your free trial of Hydroxytone. For a limited time, try it before you buy it. 1-800-900-4211. But hurry, when this offer's gone, it's gone. Call 1-800-900-4211. 1-800-900-4211.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Did you know that right now you could be paying too much for your life insurance? It's true, because right now term life insurance is at its lowest rates in years. So you could be saving money. How much? At SelectQuote, we shop and compare for you. So a 40-year-old man in excellent health could get a 10-year, $500,000 term life policy for under $19 a month. That's right, $500,000 of term life for under $19 a month. How much could we save you? Give us a call. 1-800-600-1312. At SelectQuote, we've helped hundreds of thousands of Americans do what's right for their families. And save money. We're here to help you, too. So, want to save money on your term life insurance fast? Go to selectquote.com or pick up the phone and get your free quote. 1-800-600-1312. That's 1-800-600-1312.
Hey, Carl Wolfson here. Thanks to KPOJ listeners, last month, Eyes on Broadway collected dozens of pairs of eyeglasses that will be distributed in March when Dr. Tom Barreto travels to Peru to perform eye exams. If it's been more than a year since you've had your eyes checked, call Eyes on Broadway today at 503-284-2300 to schedule an appointment. Eyes on Broadway is a proud supporter of Progressive Radio, which is just one reason why I've been a loyal patient for 8 years. Call 284-2300 or visit eyesonbroadway.com.
Now back to Tom Hartman nationwide on Portland's Progressive Talk Station, AM 620 KPOJ.
By the way, if I think I mentioned it earlier, but on February 26th and 27th, I'll be at the, we'll be doing our show live, in fact, as we have every year for 4 years now, from the Radio Row at the Conservative Political Action Conference, CPAC 2009, CPAC.org in Washington, D.C. And I just learned that the keynote address is going to be given by Rush Limbaugh, And apparently we have a little clip here of what he's going to be saying. That's
you don't know the power of the dark side.
So, yeah, I will report diligently back to you. Ellen Ratner is on the line with us with the Talk Radio News Service, talkradionews.com, with all the news of the day. Hey, Ellen, what's going on?
Well, we'll have to go out for our annual dinner at the CPAC conference.
I agree. I look forward to seeing you.
Okay. Well, the jobless claims is what is really spooking everybody out. It rose 35,000 to 626 in 1 week. The economists had apparently only thought a couple thousand more. It's the highest since October 1982. And you're talking about this kind of job loss. Right. It's very, very scary.
The economy is going in the toilet as fast as it did last time Reagan did a huge tax cut that decimated the economy.
Well, what's so very interesting is that Nancy Pelosi this morning has done a little bit of her homework, and she put out a statement talking about that the recovery plan must not be weakened with failed Bush-era theories. And she actually looks at tax cuts versus spending increases and what she calls bang for the buck.
Right.
And she actually took Mark Zandi, who, as you know, was the economist for McCain, and used his analysis.
Hmm.
And what they said is that if you had non-refundable lump sum tax rebate, it's a buck and a cent for every dollar that's spent. Refundable is $1.22. Make dividend and capital gains cuts permanent, 38 cents. But now if you look at spending increases, number one, the two top things that would make a difference is extending unemployment insurance benefits. You get $1.63 for every buck you spend.
Yep.
And temporary increase in food stamps, $1.73. General aid to state governments, $1.38. Increase infrastructure spending, $1.59. And again, this is a McCain economist.
Right, right. And it points out how Franklin Roosevelt actually did get us out of the Great Depression. I know there's a whole bunch of conservatives out there trying to rewrite history, but FDR...
I think it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like it. The Work Progress Administration was a joke, they're saying. I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, yeah. No, he had unemployment down substantially by 1937, and then in late 37, he basically gave in to the Republicans and said, okay, we'll cut back on some of these programs, and things got worse for a year into 38, and that's the number that everybody's using. They're looking at 38, and then he poured it back on again, and 39 started getting better, and 40 was even better, and this was before we were in World War II.
Well, as you know, our staff member Dawn started reading your book, and I was, you know, she was in the Marines. She's sort of a libertarian. Well, she's starting to read your books, Tom, and you've gotten to her.
Uh-oh. Okay, she's reading. I think she's reading Screwed, right? She asked me when I was there what I recommended as an economics book, and I said Screwed is a great place to start.
Right. Well, she's been reading. I guess she's got two of them now, so she's reading that.
Well, say hi to Dawn for me.
Will do. They also, the Obama folks are saying that they do believe that the stimulus bill is going to pass, that with these economic numbers, that the Republicans really don't have much of a say, and they do think that it is going to get through.
So they're
going to
get, even though they couldn't get 60 votes for adding $25 billion in infrastructure, they are going to be able to pass the thing?
We think, I think by the time it gets to conference and by the time the Republicans get some of their little needs met, it will pass.
Yeah.
I think they've got to. And we're looking at State of the Union possibly, which isn't going to be called State of the Union, possibly at the end of the month, maybe around the 24th, 26th. That's sort of what rumor has it.
When is the official State of the Union?
That's it. I mean, whenever he does it,
he's going to do it to fulfill the constitutional requirement, but it's not going to be called the State of the Union address?
That's what we're hearing. But, you know, things could change in a moment's notice. I think the other big thing, of course, is that our very own Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, very own, being appointed by the Democrats, is in the hospital with pancreatic cancer. All I can say is it's a very good thing. I mean, I wish her well. It's a very good thing this didn't happen 2 months ago.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. It's a sad thing for Ruth Bader Ginsburg. She's had colon cancer as well. I had thought that she had had breast cancer. Apparently, I was wrong. I read the news report. But in any case, she is a cancer survivor, and now she has it again. And pancreatic cancer is particularly pernicious. We should all keep her in our prayer, keep her in our prayers. Thank, as you say, thank God this didn't happen a year or two ago, just to put it, the political light on it.
One other thing is that, well, there's a couple other things, but they are now, there was a report this morning at the Pentagon that they are really having what they call challenges from the Taliban and some other insurgent groups in Afghanistan, and this is happening in the rural area, and that it is very, very difficult there, and they are saying, they were asked this today, well, if you get more troops, are you going to go deeper in the area? And he wouldn't say, but it looks like that's what they're moving towards.
Then we're going to learn the same lesson the Russians did, and it's going to be a terrible thing.
It's Charlie Wilson's war times two.
Yep. I sure hope they change their minds on this one. Ellen Ratner, thanks so much for the info. Great talking with you.
Thank you.
And talkradionews.com, of course, the website. Coming up tomorrow, it's Friday. It's Brunch with Bernie. Be sure to join us as America's senator takes your calls as we do our weekly national town hall meeting. And, of course, anything goes Friday. Don't forget, my friends, democracy begins with you. Tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow.
This is the Tom Hartman Program. For exclusive audio archives and more information, visit HartmanRadio.com.